You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast alongside Steve Lyons. I'm Holden Kushner. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play, which is where Steve and I discuss three topics that interest us. We're going to start the triple play by reacting to Chicago Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta leaving his start against the Pirates with an apparent lower body injury. We'll then return to the Yankees' recent brawl with the Tigers and weigh in on Gary Sanchez having his suspension cut from 6 games to 3. And we'll finish by looking at the NL West, where the Dodgers are struggling and the Diamondbacks are surging.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
You saw Arrieta try and throw a warm-up pitch. What's going on here?
You hate to speculate because you just don't know. You'd like to get the information, but it looks like a groin to me. What do you think?
That's what I would say.
A hamstring or a groin, but he went through the motion to try to make another pitch, just a warm-up pitch, and he didn't even throw the ball. And you can see him kind of – and, you know, he wasn't babying it either. He kind of put a hard stride towards home as if he was going to deliver a pitch and then just stopped in the middle of it. To me, that means, like, groin or hammy.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. Groin, the adductor muscles, somewhere around there. And this is huge for the Chicago Cubs. So they already trailed Pittsburgh 3-0 in this one. That's fine. The Brewers lost today, so they picked up a half game in that way. We'll see what happens in this game. Who knows? But this is their best pitcher right now. This is a team that has struggled with pitching this year, with starting pitching. And I think what coincides with the team playing better baseball in the second half is Jake Arrieta.
Absolutely.
He's pitching much better. You don't have Jake Arrieta, you can kiss any aspirations of a World Series goodbye.
Yeah, and you know the thing is with groins or hamstrings, either one of them are terrible injuries to recover from. You know, it takes a lot longer than you think, and even then when you think you're ready, you're still not ready because you don't ever get to test it with the same type of game adrenaline. And anytime you're throwing on the side, it's just not the same as when you're in a game. Everything stretches out a little bit farther. You throw harder. You know, it's just so you're starting to test that muscle a lot harder in a game situation than you do when you're just warming up, and you can re-injure yourself so easily.
I think it's going to be a fascinating story to watch. Jake Arrieta has just left his start in the third inning with the Pirates up 3-0. He made a warm-up pitch. He strides toward the plate, and his back leg just came up off the rubber, and he said, forget about it, with the trainer watching. So you've just had John Lester on the DL. Let's just say John Lester comes back, pitches great down a stretch. Kyle Hendricks, number two at this point. He's your number two.
Yeah.
You got to hope Quintana pitches a hell of a lot better than he already did. Or they're in a lot of trouble. Lackey kind of toward the end of the line. Maybe he can come up big from time to time. I don't think it's anybody that you can count on anymore in the playoffs. He's had a lot of history and a lot of success.
Yeah, he is a big-time playoff pitcher, though.
I do not care at his age. He doesn't have the same stuff. So without Arrieta, I will repeat. Cubs fans, I feel like you know this. It's over without Arrieta. I don't even want to say they'll probably get to the playoffs. There's a good chance that they'll get to the playoffs and that Milwaukee doesn't catch them and that they won't have to play in a wild card round. But think about this for a second. How big would this be for the Washington Nationals? The Dodgers wouldn't have the best record. The Nats would take on the Cubs without Jake Arrieta in a worst-case scenario. The Nationals might actually win their first playoff series ever.
Yeah, they'd have an excellent chance with the way they've been playing. And you're looking at a Cubs team, if Arrieta can't come back, it's not going to be a good situation for them to be able to go into the playoffs against the Nats.
Man, that is just bad news. I really hope this is a man that gets back there on a mound, an ultimate competitor, really good guy, but he has left the game.
I think, without question, the biggest news is the Sanchino. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is the worst thing I've heard. He's in there throwing haymakers, some cheap shots. Guys aren't even knowing that. He's not even looking at the guys when he's punching them. Hitting somebody and then hopping up like he didn't do anything and then doing it again, and he gets a suspension reduced? That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't like it at all. I thought that he deserved more time than just 6 games. I knew that they'd knock it down. I thought maybe 5 games, 4 at the worst-case scenario. But here's a guy in Gary Sanchez and went out and made the brawl a lot worse than it was. Now, Aaron Judge is not going to get fined anything. He's just not getting anything even after the video review. But we saw Aaron Judge get in there and throw a couple of punches. But the sucker punches from Gary Sanchez, that's what really had me going. And if you're going to be a third party coming into this thing and hitting guys while they're already down and hitting them from behind, then three games a joke. Now, I don't understand how they came up with three games. I don't understand how they came up with six games, Steve. I don't know if there's any precedence with this. What, do they just look at it and say, it looks like six games?
Yeah, they just guess.
Let's count down to three. Do you think they guess?
They take an educated guess. They say, what should it be? I'm sure it's a little roundtable discussion. And they're like, well, what do you think here? And they look at the tape. But you're right. I mean, the worst thing to me was he wasn't even squared off with anybody. The guy who was hitting, he wasn't even looking at him. You know, it was just a big sucker punching right going on right there. And to me, that's weak. You know, it shows no character. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that nobody should ever throw a punch in a baseball brawl because, you know, a lot of times nothing happens. Guys just stand around and dance with each other. But if you're mad enough and, you think something happened to you and you think someone deserves to, get a punch thrown at them, then square up and look them in the eye before you take your best shot. And he didn't do that. And, you know, guys get suspended for more games. A pitcher will get suspended for throwing at a hitter and not even hitting him. For more games than that.
Yeah, this guy threw a couple punches. Here you go. Here's his apology on Instagram, Gary Sanchez. I want to apologize for my actions during the last Detroit Tigers series. The heat of the moment and my desire to protect my teammates led me to commit some errors during the brawl. Errors, huh? It's an incident I regret and from which I have learned. I know some of these may be mere words, but they are words that I feel the need to express because I sincerely feel this way and... For respect to you, the fans, the Yankees organization, the Detroit Tigers, and the game of baseball, hashtag L. Gary. So the apologies, at least it included the Detroit Tigers there. That's nice.
What's the hashtag?
L. Gary? He's the Gary. There is no other Gary.
Oh.
He didn't go with Sanchino, at least, so that's nice.
I don't get it. And when was that? When was that posted?
Just a little bit ago.
It took him so long.
Monday.
The thing happened, what, 4 or 5 days ago?
Well, I think he wanted the suspension to be handed down, and then he waited for that. It would have been nice if he could have done that a little bit sooner. But, again,
he's only sorry now after they reduced the suspension. Yeah. Now he's sorry.
Three games for sucker punch of people, that is weak. And it's very weak, and it's weak that Aaron Judge didn't get, at the very least, a fine. He should have been suspended for what he was doing. And, of course, Miguel Cabrera deserves everything that he gets. Miguel Cabrera was the enemy number one in this one. He started with the push, and then he's swinging. And Romine was involved in this too, and he deserved what he got. But I'd say the number two culprit in this whole thing was Gary Sanchez. And the number three culprit that no one's even talking about is Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
I mean, what a complete this was a botch job by Major League Baseball.
Everywhere.
Getting these suspensions right, and it's very disappointing.
I think you're 100% correct. And I mean, I'm not a huge Romine fan, but it seemed to me like he was just kind of, stood up and they were having a discussion. Next thing you know, he's getting pushed in his neck. He's got to defend himself at that point. Mm-hmm. To me, this is just a joke. You know what it is to me? This is New York bias. This is
what?
Yes, it is. It's because you play in New York. It's because you're in the Yankees, and it's because you're in a division fight for the division lead there. If you're playing for the Tampa Bay Rays, they give you your six games and they laugh at you while you walk away and take your six games. But because Sanchez plays for the Yankees and because they're in the race, they don't want to give an unfair advantage to any other team in the race by taking Sanchez off the field. And that's exactly what it is.
Well, three games it could mean the difference between winning the division and losing the division. Who knows? They got an interesting road trip coming up here, starting with the Baltimore Orioles today. But to say New York bias, I don't know if there's New York bias. I've never even thought about that entering the conversation, that just because he plays for the Yankees, they're going to let up on him?
No, I'm saying that because the Yankees are a good team and in the race, they're letting up on him. They're trying to make sure that they don't take one of the best players off the field for more than three games to a team that has a chance to win the division and is going to be, potentially a playoff team. I mean, they should be in the playoffs, but they can stink it up. And now you take Sanchez off the field for six games. Now you're talking about a very good possibility of them losing a lot of those games when he's gone.
So if Justin Turner went out and started pummeling people with cheap shots like Sanchez did, right?
Yep.
You think they'd take it easier on him?
Yes, because it's a good team. All I'm saying is that if you're a team that's in the race and the guy that gets suspended could hurt the opportunities of that team to make the playoffs and stay in the playoff race, they're going to go easier on him.
But it's New York bias.
Well, I didn't mean New York. I meant because they are a good team right now, okay, in a good situation. If you're playing for the Seattle Mariners, you take your six games and you get your six games and they don't reduce it.
You want to tell me what is going on with the Dodgers right now, Steve? Because it came out, Dave Roberts had to come out and say, we're not easing up heading into the playoffs. He goes, it's the same team, same goal. We're going to be fine. We can't win every game. They're very passionate fans. I hope they don't jump off the bandwagon. But, you know, he's skippering a team right now that has lost 8 out of 10 games. They are not the same team that we saw, you know, a week and a half ago. All of a sudden, it just cooled off. And it was bound to happen. At some point in time, the Dodgers were going to lose some baseball games.
Well, you didn't think they were all going to come all at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. And they've lost three straight. And the Diamondbacks today.
Yeah, guess who they get again?
They get the Diamondbacks again.
Who just rubbed their noses in it last week.
What was that, sweepage last week?
Sweepage.
A little sweepage. So now you got a team. They're going to roll out Rich Hill again. And we'll see what Hill does. I want to see Kershaw against the Diamondbacks. I want to see Darvish. I want to see all that stuff. I want to see the frontline guys. But here's my question then. If the Diamondbacks can win this series, right? And they're not going to win the division. They're 13.5 back. What'd you say? They made up 8 games? Yeah, they made up 8 games in the last 10 days.
Yeah, it's crazy. They made up 8 games, but they were 20 back. It's amazing. Yeah. Isn't it a second-place team that far deep? That's because the Dodgers won every night. Now they're losing every night.
But what if the Diamondbacks gain a little bit more confidence and go beat up on the Dodgers in L.A., and then it's a possible LCS or LDS with the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers? And well, the better the Diamondbacks continue to play, the more I think that this could be another failure for the Dodgers in the playoffs.
Well, here's the thing, too, and you're right about that. All you need is the Diamondbacks to start believing that they're a pretty good team. You know, everyone's looked at the Dodgers all season long going, oh, my God, is anyone ever going to beat this team? These guys are crazy. They're killing everyone. They knock the ball out of the ballpark. They have good pitching. They can do it all. They can run a little bit. They play defense. They're doing it all. All the Diamondbacks have to do is win 2 out of 3 in this series, and then they go away with 3 weeks to go in the season saying, you know what? We're going to get into the playoffs, and when we do, if we see the Dodgers again, we know we can play with these guys. We know we can beat them. And you know who the X factor is on that team? I love this guy, Torey Lovullo. You know, Torey's awesome, and I'm so happy that he got a chance to get this job, because I think he's a huge difference maker.
Well, there's some other things going on with his team. Patrick Corbin has a sub-2.5 ERA in the second half. His whip is 1.17. He's got a strikeout per inning, and he's only walked 17 in those 63 innings. Godley has been solid. You know, Greinke hasn't even been their best pitcher in the second half. It's been Corbin. Of course you want Greinke out there when it counts. Taijuan Walker has a 3.04 ERA in the second half. Not a lot of hard contact there. Robbie Ray is back. So all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks, who were in a free fall right after the break, they've started to pick things up. They've won 10 in a row heading into today's matchup against the Dodgers. And on top of that, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because I look at the Brewers and I say, wow, a Brewers-Diamondbacks one-game playoff. Maybe that doesn't set America on fire, because we love the big market teams. Maybe people aren't tuning in as much to the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Man, I would love to see a 5-game series between those two teams. You talk about a couple of teams here that are really good, finishing up the season strong, and of course it's going to end up being the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, and everything I'm saying right now is going to be wrong. But the Brewers, I would throw Chase Anderson out there, or maybe Jimmy Nelson against Zach Greinke for a 1-game playoff. So that's the question then. If you can get into a 5-game set where it would be the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, can you go get them with Robbie Ray and Taijuan Walker and Greinke only going once? That would be the question. Can Robbie Ray shut them down? I think he would be the key guy, and he's back, and he's pitching well.
Yeah, you don't want to find yourself in a series where Greinke only goes once. He can't do it. You know, I don't think they're deep enough not to have him go. Although, you know, when you start talking about getting deeper into the playoffs, if you can, as you're talking about, hey, let's ride this out. What if they get deeper and they ask Greinke to go on, you know, 3 days? He doesn't like to do that kind of stuff.
Well,
and the other thing is, I don't want to see the Arizona Diamondbacks ever play a road game in the playoffs because I don't want to have to look at those putrid uniforms. Goodness, they're ugly. We watched them in their home series, and they toned them down. They were mostly white. They had a little design up on the shoulder. That was kind of cool. But, oh, my gosh. You remember, I don't think they're wearing these ones as much this year. But remember the ones where the pants would, like, bleed into another color down by their feet?
Yeah.
It was just like, come on.
Yeah.
Pick a color and go with it.
They don't bother me as much as they bother you.
Oh,
I still
ugly.
Think the Marlins is the only ones where it's just almost impossible to watch. And they should wear their players' weekend tops.
Yeah, that's because you hate teal.
Remarkable.
Yeah, and Arizona,
teal's not my favorite.
Arizona, you know, they're kind of getting away from it, but they still have teal. Sometimes they have their names written in teal on the back, or the guys will wear like the teal shoes. I'm like, come on, get rid of that color.
It's Fashion Hour with Steve Lyons on MLB at the Plate.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this. And now, more of the MLB at the Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
There were 15 games on Monday to bring you up to speed on all the matinee action. We got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking.
Best day ever on MLB at the Plate.
I am going with Billy Hamilton, the guy that you would not think is going to hit a walk-off home run. Last guy in baseball you would think would hit a walk-off home run. Hits a walk-off home run. Billy Hamilton of the Reds. You get my best day ever. How about you, Steve?
You know who I'm going with, and the game isn't over with yet. This might be a first time in history. I'm going with Martin Maldonado. His first home run tied that game. The Angels were getting beat 4-0. He tied it up with his home run. His second one continued to put them in the lead. Right now, Angels beating Oakland 8-5, and you know the Angels, with the deals that they made and the situation that they're in right now with the wild card, they've got to win games.
All right, on the mound, I'm going Chad Green. And if you don't know who he is, get to know him, because come on, everybody knows the Yankees, right? This guy goes 2 1/3 shutout innings today against the Orioles. And, you know, is in the middle inning, so he comes in relief at Jordan Montgomery. He struck out 4. He has struck out 11 of his last 15 batters faced.
That's pretty
15
good.
Batters faced, struck out 11 of those. It's the 10th game this season with 4 more strikeouts. Last Yankee reliever to do that was Goose Gossage back in 1978. And he's also coming off of a performance last week where he had 7 Ks and 2 2/3 innings. Chad Green is a closer in waiting. This dude is my best day ever.
Oh, there you go. I got Trevor Bauer because I like the fact that he got his 15th win today. Went 6 1/3, gave up 2 runs. The pitching performance overall wasn't overly spectacular. It wasn't like he threw a shutout or anything. But he had a pretty good day. Plus, he got a little chippy. He was striking people out and then like shooting them down on their way back to the dugout and stuff. I like the fact that he was getting into it a little bit. The emotions are getting away with everybody here now down the stretch.
Yep. All right, so we got our tracking of the home runs next.
MLB at the Plate Home Run Tracker.
Yeah, and it's an abbreviated version with just the afternoon action today, as we did our Labor Day show live from 2 to 6 Eastern time. We got Eric Hosmer, went 416, 103 off the bat. Jose Reyes, Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets going deep. Tim Beckham, bottom of the first, leading things off for the Orioles, 376 and 104 exit velo. Carlos Santana, Chris Davis with a C of the Orioles, goes 367. Ryan Braun, 299th career home run, goes 405. Didi Gregorius, first Yankee shortstop in the history of that franchise with back-to-back 20 home run seasons. Not even Derek Jeter did that. 369-foot home run, 103 exit velo. Joe Panik's home run at Coors went 405. Salvi Perez went 393. And Orlando Arcia, big three-run home run for the Brewers, went 406. It tied it at four, but his team lost. Starlin Castro, Alcides Escobar, Reimer Liriano all going deep. Denard Span had a 394-foot shot at Coors. Charlie Blackman had the second longest home run of the afternoon session, 441 feet, 100 off the bat. Nicholas Castellanos, Josh Bell, and Billy Hamilton. Billy Hamilton smoked his home run. Highest exit velocity of any home run in the afternoon session, 108 miles an hour off the bat, 405 feet. Luis Valbuena, Jose Ramirez, and Max Moroff all going deep. Martin Maldonado has hit the longest home run of the day. His second went 447 feet, 107 off the bat. His first went 431. And Beef Wellington Castillo hit his 398 feet. Let's check out a little bit more of the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
All right, Steve, this one's just for you. Josh Bell hit his 24th home run of the year, breaking a tie with Chipper Jones for the most home runs by a switch-hitting rookie. The most by a switch-hitting rookie in NL history.
On Thursdays when it's raining.
But it did it today when it was Monday and warm.
Nice.
Jake Arrieta actually had a 1.59 ERA since the All-Star break heading into today before he left with a lower body injury. Diamondbacks, second team since 2005 to go 8 straight games without trailing, joining the Indians who did it in July. Let me repeat this for a second. Diamondbacks, second team since 2005 to go 8 straight games without trailing. They haven't trailed in 8 games. The Indians, who have won 12 straight, also did that back in July.
Wow.
Wow.
That's, you don't trail, you're not going to lose.
Nope.
It's so easy.
Didi Gregorius, first shortstop in Yankees history with 20 home runs in back-to-back years. White Sox Reimer Liriano, today was his first major league home run since August 13th of 2014 when he was with the Padres. I did say, where's that guy been? And that's where he was.
Yes, you did.
And the White Sox are 13-14 in the last 27 games with a minus 24 run differential. So they're not doing very well. They're not doing very well at all.
No.
Angels starters have one win in their last 15 games.
That's unbelievable.
Including today, because Parker Bridwell left before he qualified for the win.
Yeah, and they're right there in the race. They lost, I believe they lost yesterday, but they are winning right now 8-6. So it's their bullpen that's getting it done for them if they're winning any games at all.
In order to get to the wild card playing game, you're allowed to have one massive flaw. Not just one flaw, one massive catastrophic flaw. And for the Angels, it's no starting pitching. How do you get to be in a position to go to the playoffs with no starting pitching? This is Bridwell's second bad start in a row. He was the only guy that they could count on to go out there and give him a chance to win.
How can you possibly be in a position to be in the playoffs when you have one win out of your last 15 starts out of a starter?
Yep.
It's unfathomable that you can get away with that.
It really is. It really is. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and Steve Lyons alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you manana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.